But, you know, as we're doing the baptism, I think it's stirring a lot of thoughts. Some of you out there may not have been baptized yet. And you might ponder, well, why should I be baptized? And I think one of the simple and most clear illustrations, well, actually, it's not an illustration, something that actually happened, happens when Jesus was baptized. Now, baptism clearly did not wash away Jesus' sin, right? He was already righteous beforehand. And remember what John the Baptist said when Jesus was about to be baptized? He said, I should be baptizing you. Because baptism in that day, it was actually very stunning for people to see good Jewish boys be baptized, because it was kind of like this Gentile thing, where those filthy Gentiles had no place in the covenant people of God. There was a rabbinical question where it was asked, can a Gentile partake in the Passover, right? And the answer was they could if they were baptized, if they were washed. It's almost like they got the Gentile cooties off of them. And so it was normal to see Gentiles being baptized, but when John the Baptist came, he was actually baptizing actual Jews, covenant people, showing that their religion wasn't good enough as is. And so what needed to when Jesus was being baptized, that was almost scandalous. But there's a little line about why you should be baptized then, that was to fulfill all righteousness. And there's a lot of debate about, well, what righteousness was he fulfilling? Well, I think one of the clearest answers was he was demonstrating that those who follow him are to follow in the same practice. And so part of being a follower of Jesus is to do what Jesus did, right? What would Jesus do? Believe what he tells us to believe, and Jesus was baptized. So what would you say to somebody who's kind of on the fence? Should I get baptized or not? What steps should they take?
Well, you know, while we want to be very clear that baptism is not necessary for salvation, we start having an issue when somebody refuses to obey Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different question.
Uh-huh.
And so just, you know, talking about that that command.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to follow Jesus? If you won't start your walk of faith by obeying Jesus in baptism, how can we as a body of Christ welcome you into membership and expect that you're going to obey Jesus in really, really super hard things? This is easy compared to walking in a manner worthy of your calling in a world that hates Christ and hates the gospel.
Well, what about the whole testimony? I mean, do you have to give your testimony?
You don't. You know, I mean, that's kind of a tradition that we have. It's a great way to allow the local body of believers that you are publicly professing that inward reality to get to know you and say, oh, wow, yeah, that's the gospel. Wow, God has saved that person. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary. It's just kind of the tradition that we like to have, because we want the gospel in Christ to be the center point of baptisms, not the one being baptized.
Yeah. Do you guys like testimonies?
Amen.
Yeah, I think so. I like them. I love it. And I always tell people, it's the easiest audience you'll ever have. Right? The easiest. And honestly, being able to articulate your testimony is a good ministry skill in the future, right?
Yeah, you bet. And you know, when we understand the biblical truth that the waters do not confer any grace to us, they do not actually do anything to us, then we are free to be able to do things in a different way than maybe a different congregation does. There are some congregations that if you're going to become a member of that church, you need to be rebaptized. And somebody's like, oh, some people look at that very scandalous, but it's like, it's just an outward expression of the inward reality. If it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you were professing Christ and you're able to share your testimony with that new body of believers. Now, that's not our tradition here, but they have freedom in Christ to do that.
So is there a place for rebaptism?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say there's a couple of things, and this is not going to be exhaustive, but like, you know, those who were raised in a place that believers' baptism was not the emphasis, but they want to come and join a congregation where that is our response, that's what we are convicted that the scriptures teach.
Yeah.
That would be...
Yeah, and I think when you look at somebody who grew up in a tradition of infant baptism, their reasons are not rebellion.
Yes, right.
You know, it's not rebellion. That's not their honest, sincere, heartfelt conviction.
Yeah.
But I think if it does change, then absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, there's been the wrestling of those who were maybe baptized in their early teen years and they had some rebellion and some things going on that they're not sure if they were believers or not. And so it's not a definitive thing. I'm definitely not a believer. It's just they're unclear. Okay, well, let's be clear. And as you're a believer now, awesome. Let's be baptized as a clear, by God's grace, washed in the blood of Christ, follower, believer. And then you know, and you never have to look back and go, oh, I don't know if I was baptized as a believer.
Like if you were baptized at 8 years old because they gave out free candy.
Right. I would do that.
Yeah, you know. Well, speaking of baptisms, it is that time.
We've delayed enough.
We have delayed enough. So Amberly, hence my daughter, will be the first one getting baptized. So come on up.
My name is Amberly Hintz, and this is my testimony. I've always grown up in a Christian home. The Bible was simply a part of the very air I breathed. I thought that I was pretty good as a kid. I attended VBS, went to Awana, and went to just about every other church activity I could have gone to. However, underneath all of this was a self-centered, sinful heart. I never thought deeply about whether I would go to heaven or hell as a kid. I was always taught that I was a sinner, but I didn't really think I was that bad. I just made little mistakes sometimes. I always thought that when I got older, I would just be saved at some magical moment. Spoiler alert, that is not the way it happened. The first time I started thinking deeply about my eternity was about 3 years ago with the death of Miss Haley Peters and Addie Ortega. It was scary to think that someone around my age could die, or that one of my friends could lose her mother like that. I remember telling my mom, I don't know if I can trust a God who does that to people. I started thinking more about where I would spend my eternity, but I still did not understand the severity of my sin. I entered youth group soon after that. Providentially, Girls Small Group was going through the book, Respectable Sins, which really changed the way that I looked at my sin. Anxiety had always been the greatest struggle for me, but I didn't think it was a big deal. Now I saw how serious that was. I started to see sin more in the way that God sees it. I realized that anxiousness is a lack of trust in God and a desire to be in control of the world. I went from viewing myself as a pretty good girl to viewing myself as a wretched sinner who deserved death, which scared me. It was around this time that God opened my heart to the gospel. One of the major events that really gave me a different perspective on Jesus was Ascend Camp, the camp that our youth group goes to. The messages were about how Jesus is truly greater than anything, than everything that you could ever have in this world. At this point, I went from wanting to become a Christian so that I wouldn't go to hell to wanting to become a Christian because Jesus is worth more than anything else. That was when I counted the cost. I realized that following Jesus meant not being in control of my own life. I knew that this was important, and it was what I wanted, but I still hadn't quite committed to following him. Last summer, on July 26th, so a couple of weeks after my mom's surgery, I was feeling anxious again. I felt so broken over my sin that I felt a complete helplessness. I realized that I couldn't fight against it on my own, but I needed a savior, Jesus. I remember having a very real sense of God's love and mercy, that he would send his only son to come to earth as a baby for my sake, wretched sinner that I am, to live the life that I should live, to die the death that I deserve, bearing my sins upon his shoulders, and to rise again so that, sinner that I am, I can have life everlasting. Since that day, I have found new joy in the Word. I like to get up early and read my Bible and pray while my siblings are still asleep, so I can concentrate on God more. I look forward to sermons and have a new zeal to do everything for God's glory. God has also taught me how to repent of anxiety. Every time I'm tempted to be anxious, I remember Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I also open my Bible to the Psalms and pray. And that way, I am reminded of God's attributes, and it calms my soul to know that He works all things out for His glory and for my good.
All right, Amberly, go ahead and have a seat. We sure had our anxiety tested during the Jayhawk game yesterday, didn't we? So put your feet down there. So I want to stand up. Well, okay, and then sit down. All right, well, Amberly, this is a very special joy for me. Your mom and I prayed for this moment many times. So it is my privilege to baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right, Alvin, who's next? Oh, we got another daughter.
I grew up in a Christian home with great parents who always talked about heaven and hell and what that meant. I always knew that I wasn't a good person and I was sinful, but I never really understood what that meant for my life. I never thought about hell, only heaven, because hell was for the really bad people. But as I grew older, I started to notice my sin a lot. And whenever I would feel that sense of guilt, I would brush off the idea with some reassuring words like, "I'm fine," or "I'll do better next time." But my sin started to grow more and more and began to be a part of my character. My words would tear down, not build up. I was angry and unkind. As time went by, the thought of hell started to really scare me, and I hated thinking about it because I knew that's where I was headed, and I needed a savior desperately. But I didn't know what to do. One night, my mom and I were talking in the kitchen about my salvation. I told her I didn't know if I was saved. I had no idea where I'd be going. She stopped what she was doing and looked at me and asked if we could pray together. She asked me if I was ready to give my life to Christ. That was the night I trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From that day till now, I have gotten much closer to Christ and a better understanding of God's word. As Ephesians 2 states in verses 1 and 2, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." But in verse 4 through 5 it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." One way that God continued to show his faithfulness to me after he saved me was a few years ago when I got really sick. My body was in pain all the time, and I was pretty miserable. There were days when I could hardly move and get out of bed. This was a time where I could see that my faith was being tested, and the Lord drew me closer to him. It was a very hard time, and I struggled with feeling alone and hopeless. A certain verse that helped me remember God's goodness was Philippians 4:8, which says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." This verse helped me remember that Christ loved me, and he was in control of my life. Jesus saved me by taking my sins upon himself at the cross. Because of Jesus, I am no longer a slave to sin, but alive with Christ.
Well, Noel, it's no greater joy than a father see his children walk the road.
Yep.
She said, "You're going to cry, aren't you?"
Yeah.
I was crying for Amber.
Yeah.
It was a joy to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, and in particular in the hard time. I saw the strength of the Lord in you, and I was proud of you, but it helped me to worship the Lord, because he brought you through a hard time in a strength in Christ way.
Mm-hmm.
that made the Lord all that more beautiful in you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Noel, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my privilege to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Liana Springman.
Just a little cold. My name is Liana Springman, and this is my testimony. Before I was saved, I was a person who thought I was a Christian. I thought, well, my parents are Christians, my friends are Christians, so I must be one too. But I didn't live like a Christian. I was constantly only looking after myself, and I would never consider others and their needs. I would never read my Bible. I would never pray. The only time I ever prayed was when I wanted something, and I would get angry when I didn't get what I wanted. I would sin and never repent because I thought, hey, I can do whatever I want because Jesus already paid for my sins. And I don't have to repent because Jesus is merciful and could never get angry. I was pretty wrong. I went to a summer camp back in 2014. I was excited to go not for the teaching, but for all the fun and games that were going to happen. In fact, I would get irritated when it was time for the lessons because I had to stop playing all the games. On one of the last nights there, the man teaching the message did a message about spiritual doubt. At first, I wasn't really listening to him, but something he said caught my attention. He talked about how we weren't saved because our parents were saved. On that evening, God, through his word, showed me that I wasn't really a Christian. I was crushed by the weight of my sin, and it finally hit me that if I were to die right then, I was going to hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." After the message, I went up and talked to the wife of the man who was teaching. She walked through the gospel with me, and I was shown how little I actually understood. I was told again of how Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and gave up his life on the cross so that we might be saved. He told me that God hates sin and that it must be punished. I finally understood that there was nothing I could do or say that could save me, but it was from the free gift of God, in which is Christ's finished work on the cross. The good news was that God is full of mercy and kindness and is willing to forgive us of our sins if we put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So, that night, I put my faith and trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross. I repented of my sinful ways and turned from my sins. Now I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am a Christian. God changed my heart. God gave me the desire to read his word and learn about him and his commandments. He gave me the desire to repent of my sins and to the people that I sin against. God changed the direction that my life was headed. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." I still stumble and fall, but I know that God is working in my life.
All right, Liana. I know it's been great just seeing your spiritual openness and tenderness throughout the years and just seeing how the Lord has really grown and changed you. And you're just a very joyful person now, not only you personally, but just the joy that you give to other people. So what a blessing it is to hear your testimony. So Liana, in light of that, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Bethany Peters.
Hi, my name is Bethany Peters, and this is my testimony. From the time I was little, I've lived in a Christian home and always considered my life to be fine. My parents were very faithful to have me memorize verses, go to church in Awana, and have devotions every night. I cannot think of a time where I did not believe that Jesus was real or that he died on the cross. However, I never made these facts that were in my head a reality in my heart. I just always assumed I was okay and did not really ever give it a second thought. However, I was far from okay. I lived every day picking on and hating my siblings, grumbling against my parents, and in complete rebellion against God. Then, about 4 years ago, things started to change in my life. In the summer of 2017, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. Also, by God's grace, I moved up to youth group that fall. Through all this, the Lord was working on my heart. As I was dealing with fear, worry, and hopelessness at home, I was being pounded with the scripture that I needed so desperately. The Lord was turning my world upside down as he was giving me the means to survive. However, looking back on that winter, I did not think about anything. I was oblivious to how sick my mom was getting and the state of my heart. It was not until my mom passed away the following spring that I realized it was all real. Up until then, I would not even entertain the thought that she might not make it, and I remember feeling so lost, helpless, and broken. However, through this brokenness, the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that my human efforts was not enough. I needed help, not only to get through one day and on to the next, but also to give me a new heart. I had broken God's law countless times and lived in complete opposition to him. I followed, loved, and worshipped his enemy, Satan. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the curse of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work of the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, following the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. For this sin I deserve to die, because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Yet there was nothing I could do to cancel my debt of sin or fix my relationship with him. But God, in his mercy, sent his one and only Son to live the perfect, sinless life in my place and suffer my punishment on the cross for the full payment of my sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus conquered sin and death when he rose from the grave on the third day and ascended into heaven. Finally, this story that I had heard so many times made sense and became not real. Not just something I learned about in Sunday school. All the things the Lord had been teaching me through youth group, through my circumstances, and through the verses I had been memorizing, and through the words my mom said to me over and over again were brought to mind by God's grace. I cried out to the Lord to please save me and forgive me of my sins, and I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus. I now have a new longing to learn more about him through the teaching of his word and through reading the Bible. I want to be close to God and obey him. I have a new desire to serve the Lord through obeying my parents, loving my siblings, and serving others. I also now have hope. The Lord has been so faithful and merciful to me and has enabled me through many hard things and in my daily walk. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Even though we had dinner together, like our families, the other day, Bethany, it is evident that King Jesus is the anchor of your soul. Bethany, based on your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, next we have Linnea Meyer. And does everybody have enough Kleenex? Okay, we have some more in the back, just so you know.
Okay, my name is Linnea Hulsenmeyer, and this is my testimony. When I was little, I started praying to someone, not knowing who it was. My heart was longing for something, and it took me a while to figure out what that was. Growing up, I was surrounded by unbelievers, following the ways of the world and living by the cravings of my flesh. Surrounded by that, I continued to do the same. I didn't know that the life I was living was a life that pushed me away from eternity with my Father. I sinned in ways that always left me feeling empty and unfulfilled. I was angry at the world and short-tempered. I had bad tendencies that ultimately left me feeling far away from my Creator and from who He created me to be. Freshman year of high school, something changed within me. I got an opportunity to be an exchange student across the world. I went through the long application process and decided to commit. My family and friends didn't believe that I was going to go through with the exchange year, since they knew me as someone who never wanted to leave the comfort of my comfort zone. As I wrote a letter about myself to my potential host family, I found myself hoping for a Christian family to pick me, someone that would take me to a church every Sunday. I desired to learn more about God and grow in relationship with Him. God provided and placed me with a sweet and loving Christian family in Kansas. When I left for the U.S. in August of 2015, my family was surprised. And through going through Emporia High School, I met a girl that invited me to youth group and morning Bible study at Westside Baptist Church. Here, I learned more about God and His heart. I learned that the importance of God sending His Son, Jesus, to live on earth alongside broken, messed up people like me. Jesus took on full human form and was still completely perfect and pure. He lived a life that no one else but Him could have lived. And it was all because of love. Because of his love, Jesus sacrificially died on the cross for our sins, so that we might be saved through him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Discovering all of this, I became more open to God. One morning at Bible study, the youth group pastor invited us into prayer. This prayer was welcoming Jesus into our lives, and I wanted that. I knew that I needed to let God into my life and fully dedicate my life to him, so I did. That morning, I asked God to step into my life and take the lead. I told him that I wanted to follow him and let him be the light to my feet. I felt peace and comfort that I've never felt before. It was a relief to know that I was no longer in control, but God was. I started to let God work on my heart and change me from the inside out. I noticed that I was starving for more of God and his word. I was craving to know more about my Father and who I was as his daughter. In this season, I learned a lot about God and myself. With God's perfect timing, he provided me with knowledge to understand parts of the Bible, the scripture that previously did not make sense to me. I was eager to keep reading to learn more about his love for me. Life, of course, was not easy after I gave my life to Jesus. I still face challenges and temptation that forced me to rely heavily on Christ. My time as an exchange student in Emporia was coming to an end. I was going back to Norway. Back in Norway, my friends and family lived a certain way, and they expected me to do the same. The girl they knew me as in Norway was not the same girl coming back. I was scared because I knew I was going to lack Christian community and accountability. When I got back to Norway, I felt very alone in my walk with God. I longed for someone to talk to about God, someone who had the same beliefs as me. Having no community began to weigh on me big time, and I turned back to my old ways and started to live for myself again. Thankfully, the Lord convicted me and reminded me of who I was and who he was. I realized I was not alone and that God was there with me to be my help. I knew I couldn't stay in Norway for long. I needed a community of believers to surround me and push me to be the person God called me to be. I had an urge to apply at Emporia State University, and the Lord provided. I got the amazing opportunity to go to Emporia State, and there I started getting involved in things I knew would help me be the best me. I met a good friend, Katie, who was a strong believer. Together, we attended the Intervene, Zenos, and Flint Hills Bible Church. My baby faith was challenged by being asked hard, convicting questions. What it meant to live a life fully dedicated to God weighed heavily on my heart. The more knowledge I gained from God's word and learning about his grace, the weaker my desire to give into sin that used to control my life got. Looking back at my life before being saved, I see the work God has done in my life and in my heart to become more like him. I'm still a sinner in desperate need of a savior, and God is still working on me, but I have come a long way from the person I used to be. My earthly desires fade as I learn more about God and his glory. Looking back at who I used to be and who I have become, I'm so thankful for God and the grace he has lavished on me. He took me, a broken person, in and loved me with unconditional love. Even though I fall short of the glory of God daily, I know that our God is a forgiving God who takes us in no matter how broken we are. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He loves me so much that he wouldn't allow me to live in sin. I know that I'm justified by his grace, and that is the greatest gift I have ever been given. Today, I decided to be baptized. By this action, I am deciding to commit my life fully to Christ. I hope and pray this body of Christ would hold me accountable to this and encourage me to pick up my cross daily. Thank you.
All right, Linnea, go ahead and have a seat. But I tell you what, that is awesome. That is awesome. I think about people from every tribe, tongue, and nation singing God's praises in heaven, and you'll be in the Norwegian section. So we'll pray for just the growth of the church in Norway, and that when you go back there someday, you can really help build his body there. So, Linnea, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Abe Brazel with a special guest baptizer. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, everyone. My name is Abram Brazel, and this is my testimony. Growing up as a kid, I was born and raised in a good Christian family, so there was never a time I didn't know about God, Jesus, never a time I wasn't reading my Bible and attending church. And this was something I utterly despised. I viewed church as an obstacle that stood in the way of what I wanted to do. I never doubted that there was a God. I just didn't care. This combined with a rebellious and curious nature led me into a lot of deep sin. I remember moving here to Emporia and attending FHBC, attending Sunday school and looking like a complete idiot. I hardly knew anything about the Bible. And having people look better than me in Sunday school was a feeling I really hated. So I decided I was going to read my Bible, but not to gain a knowledge about God and His Word, but it was to look better in the eyes of others. And this would be a theme as I started to attend a youth group. I would show up, flashing my Bible, knowing the answers. While at home, I was an angry and bitter kid who plunge deeper and deeper into my sin. I would call myself a Christian until somebody asked me if I wanted to get baptized. And, well, that was something I was afraid of because I knew deep down I wasn't saved. And I didn't want anybody else to know that. So from then on, if anybody were to ask me if about my faith, I would just tell them, I don't know. I'm not sure. This kind of all stopped when I attended my first year sin camp. I was hanging out, having fun, when I was approached by an older student. Asked me if he wanted to have a conversation. Sat me down, and he asked me about my faith. I put up my usual excuse, I don't know, I'm not sure. But instead of leaving me alone, he really reached out to me and shared his testimony about his life before he was saved, which was almost exactly like mine at the time. And he really exposed me to my sin, but still, my arrogant, prideful heart would not repent. And I somehow convinced myself that, yes, I was an unbeliever, but I knew about God, and I knew I had sinned, so God would save me eventually. If God is a loving God, He will save me eventually. This all came to a conclusion at Ignite my first year, my freshman year. After the first sermon, I was approached by a member of the youth staff, Nate Phipps. We really had an honest and open conversation. I admitted that, yes, I was an unbeliever, and he really reached out and shared the gospel with me. And God would use this conversation to set me up for the very next day. I remember the sermon, it wasn't even the main session. It was just a small breakout session. It was Josh Mills preaching on Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, which reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' And at that moment, all I could imagine was me standing face to face with the Lord, and Him looking through my life, and seeing my every single thought, word, deed, and desire, looking me in the eye and saying, 'Depart from me, You worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. And that was when the Lord utterly broke me. He showed me who I really was. I was a horrible, wretched, worthless sinner who is in rebellion of an all-powerful, just, holy, holy, holy God. He tore me down from my throne of pride, and through his mercy and grace, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Instantly, my mindset was changed. No longer do I need my sin to live, for my life is now in Christ. No longer am I a slave to my sin, for my Lord has set me free. No longer am I just scanning my Bible for the right answers, for God has put a desire in me for a deeper knowledge of his word. No longer do I sit through church waiting for it to end, but I now come with a mind and heart set on my Savior. No longer do I hide my sin, but expose it in all confidence towards my Lord. No longer is my life about pursuing my passions and desires and glorifying myself, but rather, my purpose in life now is to worship and glorify my Savior and to all the majesty of his wonderful name. Thank you very much.
Abram, watching you go from a young man that refused to see your sin to a young man who not only now sees it, but is willing to do battle with it, has brought a lot of joy to me and to your mother. And my prayer for you that above all else, that you never forget the glorious work of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Abram Allen Brazel, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
All right, we have Brandon Dexter.
Hello, I'm Brandon Dexter, and I was extremely close to this same position several years ago. I fully intended to give my testimony, be baptized, and join the church, but for all the wrong reasons. It seemed like everyone around me wanted it more than I did, and I wanted to do it for them, as if it was something that I could just check off a list to earn everyone's respect and acceptance. But God had a different plan. He knew that my heart was not in the right place at that time, and guarded me from professing my faith in an unworthy manner. James 1:26 says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." I know I let some people down during that time, and that was a tough thing for me to accept. You see, from a young age, I always wanted to be a people pleaser. I grew up in what some may label a broken home. My parents had their own rough and rowdy ways before coming together, which carried over into their marriage and our home. The only church words they would have mentioned would likely have been shouted in vain. If it hadn't been for my grandmother, it's likely I would have never seen the inside of a church in my youth. I'm grateful for her determination in bringing order to the chaos. She regularly attended the local church and encouraged everyone else to do the same. While I know that we rarely attended, it was that church that I was baptized in as an infant. Unfortunately, my parents divorced when I was 3 years old, which led to what seemed a lifetime of pains and sorrows for my entire family. My sister and I were constantly passed back and forth, listening to one parent badmouth the other, taking on a flood of guilt every time we had to leave, watching our parents cry in pain. I never understood why it had to be that way, but it was that pain that I knew I would never want to put anyone through. It gave me the motivation to try to always do the right thing. I wanted better for myself, and I've spent most of my life trying to be the best at everything, while trying to please others along the way. I had more fear of man than I did of God. Oftentimes, it's that same fear of man that would lead me to sinful actions that would likely put people through the very pain that I vowed against. There was always a desire to fit in, a herd mentality, if you will. I was blinded by my desire and passion for worldly pleasures and temporary satisfaction. Perhaps my saving grace at that time was my participation in sports. Many lessons were learned through the ups and downs of competition. It was great to have coaches and teammates that were encouraging along the way, pushing me and helping create opportunities for me to be successful. I thrived on praise for doing good. It was sports that took me to the next phase in my journey. I was called to a Christian college to play football, but that's not the big story in this phase of my life. The big story here is that this is where I met my wife, Elizabeth. It is only by God's grace that our paths would cross and that we would become bound together for life. I couldn't ask for a better friend, a wife, and a mother to our children. That alone should have been enough for me to recognize the power of Christ, but it wasn't. By this time in my life, I thought I had a good understanding of heaven and hell, but the way I understood it was that good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. I had never murdered anybody, and I've spent most of my life trying to please people by doing good. A couple of good deeds would surely trump what I perceived as a minor offense. God would surely accept me, right? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." While I had heard similar things over the years, nothing ever sank in. The transformation in my heart and faith came about when we started attending Flint Hills Bible Church. Initially, it was to have a better place to raise our kids, or simply a place that would have more kids in general. Little did I know it would be one of the greatest decisions we would make. Being surrounded by faithful followers of Christ and great biblical teachers has challenged me to think differently and grow in my faith. The more I learned, the more I understood and accepted that I was not the good person that I thought I was, and that it wasn't by my own doing that I would gain salvation. The good works that people could see from the outside did not represent what was going on the inside. But guess what? God knows all things, even your thoughts. I discovered that it doesn't matter how far away from the target you miss, you still miss. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And that part's scary, but the beauty is in the second half of that verse. "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is only by God's grace that my heart has been opened to the realization of this. I've spent most of my life trying to get ahead by earning my keep. I stand before you today to confess that I am but a wretched sinner who has resisted God for most of my life. Yet it is He, and only He, through His free and sovereign act of love and mercy, that has granted me eternal salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, apart from anything I could have done. Ephesians 2:8-10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of your works, so that no one may boast." I am eternally grateful for God's mercy and all that He has provided. I found a level of peace that is indescribable, knowing that He was with me every step of the way, molding me into who I am today. I know that my only job is to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I will seek to do all things for the glory of God. Amen.
Now, Brandon, how long have you been coming to our church?
About 5 years. Yeah.
About 5 years. And during that time, you're involved in a men's Bible study, Sunday school, the main service, and just by God's grace, slowly, as you're part of the gospel community, you begin to really understand it. And I think about some of the times, early times when we got together, and I had no reason not to think you were not a Christian, but when we talked about your testimony, I was just really blown away. It's like, this guy gets and understands grace. And so it's just a wonderful to watch you grow and change. It's my privilege to baptize you. So Brandon, in light of that, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next we have Aiden Hoffman.
My name is Aiden Hoffman, and this is my testimony. I've always grown up in the church, wherever I may have been. Because of this, I've always been surrounded by knowledge of the truth. And it was one night on my way home from Awanas that I asked my parents how people were saved. Can't remember word for word, but they told me something about turning from my sin, placing my faith in Jesus, and following Him. Looking back, they were spot on. But six-year-old me really only understood the physical part of it. So immediately following this, I prayed because I felt it was something I should do. I had already learned the verses of Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," and Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." I knew I was in the wrong and decided to fix that. I've always believed in God, and from that point on claimed to be a Christian. At first because I knew nothing else, and second because I was stubborn to a fault. Despite my claims, my 12-year-old self did not act like a Christian in the slightest. A brat would have been a better title. With time and age, I matured behaviorally, but still didn't act like a true Christian. I just became better at hiding my sin. I never really moved forward from only understanding the physical, and was always doubting my salvation based on my actions. Since that first time, I fruitlessly cried out what I thought was repentance 4, maybe 5 times. Each time saying I would rededicate my life to God, and each time falling flat, back into the world, back into sin. Saying the words, but not meaning it. I had, as Alvin put it, good theology, but a bad heart. I went to Camp Ascend 4 years ago, and I had never felt closer to God. I was determined to continue this trend of morning quiet times and bringing glory to God in all I did. But even when Alvin told us to continue and not let camp be a spiritual high point, I fell again into a private darkness, doubting myself. Another year passed again, and I was there at Ascend. I spoke up about my doubts, and one of our youth leaders helped reassure me. One of the things I remember most from the conversation with him was that anyone who wasn't a Christian wouldn't even care about their sin, and that doubt was something a believer would go through. Though this is once again spot on, I interpreted this incorrectly and thought, good, now I need not doubt. Then again came the brick wall, back into the world, back into sin. But now I did not doubt my actions, thinking I was safe for sure. I occasionally saw through this veil of lies and occasionally did something about it, but very little change came, if it came at all. Then I went to see the baptism of one of the older students. And I got thinking, this peer, who I looked up to as a role model for how a Christian should act, had not been baptized at any point before then. Then I wondered, why haven't I been baptized? And the answer came just quickly, because I don't want to, didn't care. But what kind of Christian doesn't want to get baptized? So early the following morning, sometime last winter, I sat down to write this testimony. It was actually about here in my writing that there I realized there was a very big problem with it. There was no resolution. I suddenly felt very concerned, but as I did, I tried to suppress the feeling, thinking I was fine. Then I realized there was a point to this worry that I had been suppressing all my life. I realized it was important, and in an instant, a scenario I had never thought of before appeared in my mind. I imagined myself on the edge of a cliff, miles high, with someone going to push me off unless I rejected Christ. The scenario occurred instantaneously, and so did the answer. At that moment, I imagined myself rejecting Christ in order to not be thrown to my physical death. I believe at that moment I realized I was not saved, but indeed was still in need of a savior. I tried to ignore the thought, but the truth had been freed of its cage and was now tossing me about like a mighty wave, and no amount of ignorance in me could stop it. So I closed my eyes and prayed. I prayed long and hard, almost with no words, but all the while, through a turmoil of emotions, three words were thought out again and again and again. Please, God, and hell, in no particular order. All my life, I was, as Jesus said, a whitewashed tomb, looking decent on the outside, but inside being nothing but dead bones. I may not even been whitewashed, though. Fooled the pagans, but I can't hide my faults from Christians. Even when I finally stopped shaking, the feeling lingered. Now Romans 6:23 resonated with me even harder. The wages of sin is death. But then I finally remembered the second half. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And at that moment, I repented and placed my faith in Christ, no longer trusting myself as I had for so long. Since I became a Christian, my life has changed. I no longer find any joy in sin, instead finding it impossible to bear when I let it stay in my life. And now God has equipped me to defeat sin, enabling to fight the ones that I can and flee the ones that cannot. I am not perfect. The Lord has worked in me to make me a new being and has given me a heart capable of loving and glorifying Him. Each passing day, my assurance grows. A difficult road lies ahead of me, and though I do not know its length, I know Christ will enable me to reach it to its end.
Amen. Now, because of things like this, I'm a proponent of longevity in ministry. I've seen Aiden through junior high and through high school. And I tell you what, if there was a award of most change, and I know especially to this end, it is all because of the grace and goodness of God in the person and work of Christ. Maybe because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my pleasure now to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have James Thomas.
I'm James Thomas, and this is my testimony. When I was born, I was baptized, as it was with a lot of children out in Western Kansas, because that's just the way they did in church. My parents divorced when I was very young, and I knew at an early age that we didn't go to church very much. My parents would go to church some, but then they would fall off. When my dad would come up and visit us, we would go to church at a young age, but after a while, he quit going too. By the time I was in high school, I worked most of the time. Most of the summers, I spent my days harvesting wheat. And during the school year, I worked during the week and most all weekends. After I went to high school, I went to vocational school for a full time. I thought a lot about God, but I was very reluctant to go to church because of what I'd seen as a kid. I met my wife Corey, and we got married in a church here in Emporia. But after a while, church politics had changed, and then we stopped going to church there. We started going to church with Corey's sister Lynette. After a few years, I started going a little bit more regularly and taking in the Word. I learned more about the Word. In Romans it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth thy Lord and shall believe in thy heart that God hath risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessed and made unto salvation. Then I realized that I was not saved as I believed to be as a child. I prayed a lot about it, and I knew that I needed to get baptized, but at the time I didn't feel right. Shortly after I took over the automotive business that I've worked at for 25 years, and I started only sharing the Word with others, I put out tracts in the office and started talking to people about God. Then COVID hit, and then we were not going to church anymore. We started going to Zoom with Corey's sister Lynette, and then we started coming to church here. Then I thought now was the time to get myself baptized.
All right, James, have a seat. You know, one thing I really appreciated about you is just how responsive you are to the Word. You know, by your own admission, you're not a speaker. You work with your hands, not with your mouth. And you're very good with your hands, by the way. Little endorsement there. But when we talked about baptism, you were a game. And then when we talked about forming a testimony, even though that's not something you really were excited about doing, right? You know, we're just delighted to see just your teachable heart, how you wanted to do it for the Lord, and you wanted to tell the world about what God has done in your life. And that says a lot. So James, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we have Caleb Thomas. In case you want to know, yes, that is James's son. So we have a father-son baptism. Yes. It's actually, let's see, what do we got here? 92 degrees, not too bad.
Say that like it's hot.
I'm Caleb Thomas, and this is my testimony. Ever since I was...
I'll do that. There you go. You know how to use a mic, don't you? Yep.
Ever since I was born, I've been in a home that has valued God. I've been going to a Christian church and a Christian school for as long as I can remember. Through attending church and learning about salvation, I came to see Christ as my Savior. In third grade, I can remember the day when I came to God in prayer and asked Him to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. However, I did not fully know what it meant to be a follower of God until later in my life. In fourth grade, about a year later, and after I had learned a lot more, I remember the weekend when I could feel the Holy Spirit convicting me. That one weekend, I realized what was still in my life. I knew I had different problems with sin. I came to God in prayer with the help of my family and repented of my sins. Once I was done, I felt relieved, and I truly knew that Jesus was my Savior. One verse that has always stood out to me was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Since then, I've continued to learn about Christ and know Him as my Savior. As it says in Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm here to be baptized as a believer and a follower of Christ.
And to proclaim Christ, this is a joy to have you there, Caleb. It's also a joy to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, that was nice. So, I know, any thoughts on the baptisms?
Are we doing this next week?
I wish. We could, though. I mean, if there is somebody out there who's thinking, you know what, it's time, I need to be baptized, we're not going to wait a year and have another 10 baptism service. I mean, we could, but I think for us it's more important to you to kind of help you, you know, be obedient and follow your conscience, you know, right away. And so talk to one of the pastoral staff, and we will kind of talk to you through, you know, your decision and help you craft a testimony, and we'll do it again sometime. Yeah. So I think, some of the things that kind of stood out to me is you kind of have different kinds of conversions, right? You have like the, you know, Abe's conversion was like the sudden moment, right, where it just kind of hit all of a sudden, kind of like Paul at Damascus Road. And then I think others like Brandon, it was like a gradual, slow process. And I think, you know, the Lord works in different ways. Like I always say, when did Peter get saved and when did Paul get saved? We all know when Paul got saved, but I don't know when Peter got saved, but he was. And so I think sometimes when you just look at conversion and what it means to come to Christ, I mean, nothing says it has to be a moment that you're aware of, right? Because we know that you're justified instantaneously, but when you realize that and understand that, it can take some time.
Yeah, and I love hearing that there are not only other staff members, mm-hmm. volunteer staff members, but students who are walking yep. with the Lord, who are being used in the lives of others to impart the gospel. And just an incredible testimony of the work of the body of Christ.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting how many of them, it just took them some time as they were in this community. Yeah, and I think that's one of the values we have at our churches, you know, the gospel as well as hospitality, and just giving people space to kind of gradually work through these issues and to think through them, and especially I think with a lot of the kids. I mean, we're kind of seeing a ripe harvest right now with a lot of the youth, right?
One of the things we talked about in youth group today was if you come to a place where you believe you've turned from your sins and placed your faith in Christ, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but you have not been baptized, step one is to write out your testimony.
Yeah.
And we talked about Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, that picture of a testimony, who you were, mm-hmm. walking in the world, a child of wrath like the rest of mankind, and then what God did, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy mm-hmm. because of the great love with which he loved us.
Yeah.
And then verse 10, you know, the good works that he has predestined us to walk in. Who are you now? What does that look like now? How yeah. are you demonstrating and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in your life?
Yeah, that's great. So let me pray. Well, Father, we are just so grateful for these professions of faith, and I pray for your abundant grace given to them, that you will complete the work that you began in them. And we just understand that nobody got saved today, but this was confirmation of a decision that they already made, a commitment that they have told the world that they stand with you. And Lord, they will walk the path, as they do, there will be all kinds of opposition. From the spiritual forces of darkness, from this world system, even their flesh will be tempted to turn away. But Lord, greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. And we pray that you'll help them to be faithful to the calling you've called them to. We thank you for your work in their lives. In Christ's name, amen.